the Rural Health Voice, episode 116, Grassroots Advocacy. Welcome to the Rural Health Voice. I am Beth O'Connor, your host. We discuss rural health issues at the grassroots level and how state and federal policies play out in our local communities. Is it worth your time to meet with your elected officials? Narissa Rassman, Executive Director of Equality Virginia, joined me to discuss their most recent wins at the Virginia General Assembly. Well, hello, Narissa. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Beth. It's great to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And I want to start with the basics. Tell me, what is Equality Virginia?
Equality Virginia is the leading statewide LGBTQ advocacy organization. Here in Virginia, we've actually been around since 1989. And the main goal of Equality in Virginia, what we strive to do, is obviously create a commonwealth that is safe and affirming and inclusive for all Virginians, but especially LGBTQ Virginians, making sure that everyone in the community has the safety they need to thrive. You know, a lot of our work is doing public education, outreach, advocacy, public policy, and really just educating the community on what's at stake, but also our allies and how they can be their allies.
And I know during the most recent legislative session, Equality Virginia spent a big chunk of time talking to our state elected officials about some issues. What were some of the concerns that you brought forward?
You know, we were down at the General Assembly, I think probably every day of the session, and there are a lot of issues facing the community. I will preface it and say, give some background on this moment that we're in for LGBTQ rights and LGBTQ equality, is that we're seeing in state legislatures across the country and here in Virginia as well, that lawmakers are introducing bills directly targeting the community to roll back our rights or make our day-to-day lives extremely difficult. And unfortunately, a lot of those bills are aimed specifically at the trans and non-binary community. When we break that down even more, it's really targeting trans and non-binary youth. So the past two or three sessions, we've seen an alarming number of bills, anti-transgender bills, targeting that community and attempting to roll back rights. And, you know, this session was no different. We had, I think, 11 or 12 anti-trans bills introduced, which kind of matched what we had last session. It was, you know, the worst year on record for us here in Virginia for anti-LGBTQ bills. A good number of them go down to the education level, bills that would forcibly out trans students to their potentially unsupportive parents, classroom censorship bills, et cetera. But we're also seeing Virginia sort of align with just national trends of bills attempting to ban access to medical care for trans people, bills that would prevent, you know, trans girls from playing on sports teams that align with their gender identity. And so no doubt Virginia sort of swept up in that national trend. Fortunately, we were able to prevent all of those bills from moving forward. None of them made it out of committee, which was wonderful and great news. You know, we also had the chance to work on some proactive or positive legislation this year, which has kind of been a little bit new and different compared to the last few years when we're really playing defense. But this year, we worked with lawmakers to push forward bills relating to suicide prevention and mental health awareness training in Virginia's K through 12 schools. And so House Bill 224, still moving forward, but House Bill 224 aims at recognizing that there are certain populations of youth who are at increased risk of suicide. So youth who are bereaved by suicide, youth experiencing homelessness, LGBTQ youth, other youth, and making sure that teachers and school administrators have training around that. Also worked on a bill with a delegate to enumerate out anti-bullying and harassment policy in Virginia to align with the protected classes mentioned in the VHRA, the Virginia Human Rights Act, because we know, thanks to decades of research and practice, that when school policy is enumerated out, that students feel like they have the tools they need to report their bullying and that school administrators and teachers have what they need to create inclusive schools. So those were, I think, two of the more positive bills that we worked on this year, along with a few others. Obviously, one dealing with sort of affirming marriage equality in our code, making sure that clerks can't deny marriage licenses on the basis of race, sex, and gender. That one the governor signed into law. And then the two bills that I had just mentioned, House Bill 224 and 536, the governor did amend, and so we're kind of waiting to see what happens during reconvene and ways we can engage the community.
Now, you talk about the work that we did, and we met with the General Assembly. So is that just the Equality of Virginia staff?
I see we as really the community at large. Obviously, the staff, we are down there on a daily basis. What we've been doing the past few years is having anywhere from 3 to 5 lobby days, depending on the length of the session, where we invite members of the community and our allies to Richmond to hear more about the legislation that's impacting them, get training on how to talk to lawmakers and what lobby meetings are like. And then we go into the General Assembly building and go directly to their delegate or senator to have a meeting about the legislation, but also for them to be able to bring their stories, tell their stories about what's happening in their local communities or in their day-to-day lives. And so, yeah, when I talk about we, I'm not just talking about, you know, the great staff we have at Equality Virginia that's doing a lot of advocacy and public education. I'm really talking about the community at large, especially sort of on the grassroots lobbying side of things. We're here to really give community members an opportunity to plug in and ways they can plug in, but also educate them on the process generally, just to create a more informed community that can continue taking action sessions beyond maybe when they've moved on to being more well-seasoned advocates. When I say we, I think I'm really talking about the community at large. When it comes to like legislation that we're working to put in front of lawmakers to hopefully introduce, something that we're going to be doing this year, starting at the end of April and then in May, is hosting community town halls. So we're hosting one in Stanton on May 3rd. And that's an opportunity for community members to join us and for us really to hear, hey, what's top of mind for you? What policy priorities would you love to see lawmakers introduce or focus on in the session so that we can build a better informed legislative agenda that's really community informed? And so we're really excited about those coming out.
I often hear people make comments about how they're not going to bother with politics because what happens in Richmond, D.C. really doesn't have any effect in their lives, doesn't make any difference. Would you agree with that?
I don't agree with it, but I recognize that sentiment. I affirm it and I hear it. You know, politics is a game. And I think there are a lot of players involved. And I think it's so easy to feel like you are not seen or represented or heard, whether you are like voting on election day or what is happening during the legislative session. So I recognize that a lot of folks may feel, you know, what's happening in Richmond or DC isn't impacting their lives, or maybe it's more so that lawmakers aren't really focused on what's impacting their communities when they go to do their jobs to represent those folks. I think here in Virginia, and I mean this, I think this goes to say anywhere, you know, the more local you do the work, the more impact it's going to have on your day-to-day life. And so, you know, we have seen a lot of bills introduced at the General Assembly in Richmond that for sure impacts, you know, the day-to-day life of constituents and can make a big difference, whether that's positively or negatively. And so I think my message to those folks is to absolutely get engaged. And that can mean just like emailing your lawmaker or calling your lawmaker. And it doesn't have to be about a specific bill. Like, it can be, hey, this is what I'm facing. How can you help? Lawmakers definitely make decisions based on what they're hearing from constituents. And so if your voice isn't sort of in that sea of constituents or other folks making noise, you know, I hope there are folks also speaking up that are aligned with you, but it is a great moment to get involved.
You mentioned having community members meet with the General Assembly to tell their stories. Do you feel it makes a better impression to have a regular person talk to GA members or paid staff like you and me who have the nice polished messages?
There are so many well-paid lobbyists walking around the General Assembly every day. And that is their job, to hound lawmakers and have those conversations with them and get information, et cetera. But lawmakers love hearing from folks back home and folks back in their district. I think that's a lot more impactful than a lobbyist who is just doing their job, whether they're connected to the issue or not, whether they live in that district or not. Anyone can go into any office for a meeting and read off a one pager of talking points and all of that. Any of us can read off some statistics, but you know, I like to tell folks that only one person has your personal story, and that's you, and that you are the expert of your own personal story. And so there is something very genuine and important and critical about going into a lawmaker's office or having a phone call with them, you know, sending them a letter or email that shares your personal story and your connection to that issue. Because a lot of time lawmakers are, they're just told how to vote or how to vote on a bill. But what they want to hear is like, how is this going to impact folks back home, back in their district? And so I think for them to have that awareness can change like hearts and minds, especially when you have a lawmaker who might be on the fence. You know, they might want to just vote a certain way because it's popular or what everyone else is doing. But if it's not aligning to what they're hearing from constituents, then how is that going to help anyone out in the long run?
How can people connect with Equality of Virginia if they want to support your legislative goals?
Getting on our email list is a great way. Folks can also email us directly anytime they need anything. We try to make sure that we are sending our like ways folks can get engaged, whether that's joining for a lobby day or sending an email or calling. You know, we try to also share that on our social media channels. So I think following us on all of the channels, the Facebook, the Instagram, X, or Twitter, and getting that information. I really think a great way is to also just like attend these town halls that we're going to have coming up, but join us for a lobby day, because there's a lot that we can do sort of in the moment when session starts on like in January, but so many folks are making decisions before their inception. And by so many folks, I mean like lawmakers, they are going to start deciding what bills they're filing over the next couple months. That's a great point to enter this work if you want to influence what bills are going to be introduced. And they're already going to be having meetings about those bills leading up to January. Is January is really where a lot of the votes happen, but a lot of decisions are made way ahead of time. And so a lot of folks are walking into the legislative session already knowing how they're going to vote. So I think that a great way to get involved with us to answer your question is attending our town halls, attending a lobby day. Those are really high impact ways to support our legislative goals of being there in the room and being part of the process. But I encourage folks to understand where you are in your journey of being an advocate, and whether that's you only want to call a lawmaker or email a lawmaker, that is amazing work as well.
I'm sure there's some people that look at the work of Equality in Virginia and say, well, yeah, that's not me. I'm not part of that group. It doesn't make any difference. Why would someone support the work of Equality in Virginia if they don't identify as LGBTQ themselves?
We as a community, we are very strong advocates, but we also need strong allies as well. You know, I think especially for our youth who are out there, LGBTQ youth who have one supportive adult in their life, their risk of suicide reduces like 40%. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be an LGBTQ adult. And so I think when we can connect with our neighbors and our community members and better understand who they are and who their values are, we create safer communities for everyone. We create safer schools. We could create safer housing opportunities. We create safer employment opportunities. It's really about just creating a safer Virginia. And so when we get to know our neighbors, when we get to know our friends, our family, our coworkers, you know, understand who they are, through that, learn to love and respect them and see them as a human being, we're really benefiting all of our society and all of our commonwealth. So, you know, I encourage folks who are non-LGBTQ folks or not members of our community you know, to also support the work, because we're not advancing any sort of radical agenda. We really just want to make Virginia safe and welcoming for everyone. And that includes, you know, we can't do that work without our allies. We absolutely need our allies in this work. And, you know, I think allies in this moment are also strong messengers for us, lawmakers. You know, I can't even quite explain, like, the facial reactions we see from lawmakers when someone who's not impacted by the issues speak up about the issues. That goes a long way, because a lot of our lawmakers, though, you know, we have our LGBTQ caucus has grown, a lot of our lawmakers are not members of the LGBTQ community. So it's particularly important for them when they see cisgender, heterosexual white man say, I support trans rights, and better understand where they're coming from. And so I think it's not just about what is our message, but who is the right messenger as well for that particular audience.
So last question, asked all my guests, if you could do anything, what would you do to support health and healthcare in rural Virginia?
For Equality Virginia, something that we have been trying to do for the last year, and I think are finally at a place where we have capacity to do it, is get out to those communities, visit rural communities to better understand lived experience, especially for our like rural LGBTQ members. And when we're talking about like policies we're supporting is, you know, what is the experience of rural LGBTQ folks? And are we talking about those experiences in a way that's like honest and truthful, you know, to the policy? I mean, I think we, in general, we just need greater access and equity for everyone as it relates to healthcare. I think this is aligned with what we see with LGBTQ folks and LGBTQ healthcare in the medical field, is just overall competency as well. You know, understanding who we are and how we deserve to be served and seen.
If I fix healthcare in rural America, I can probably claim any fee I want as a consultant.
You could, and you should. It's like all these questions are why we're doing the work. It's like there's no one answer. I mean, it's everything, right? Access to food, better transportation, you know, housing. Increasing housing improves health outcomes for folks. So it's everything. There's never easy answers, but it's an easy decision to do the work.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Nerissa.
Thank you so much, Beth. This was great.
That's Nerissa Rassman and her desire to make sure rural needs are reflected in legislative policy work. If you want to be part of the conversation about rural health, watch our website and social media accounts for information about the upcoming Equality Virginia Town Halls. The Rural Health Voice is the podcast of the Virginia Rural Health Association. It is sponsored by the Virginia State Office of Rural Health and underwritten by the National Rural Health Association.